In some churches and to many believers, God stopped speaking a while ago. I don't know when, but he gave us this Bible. He's not saying anything new today. Just go back and do the best you can with what you got. I find that so sad because we live in such a chaotic world. And just the overall anxiety we experience as being human beings, we need personal involvement with God. And to not believe that he speaks today and simply to go back and try to do what the scriptures say, well, there's a lot of futility in that because as hard as we try, you can't do it. Only Jesus could fulfill the scriptures. So many are under a lot of bondage of thinking that God's word is only what has been written here in our Bible. This is God's word. But they don't have an awareness that he's continuing to speak today to his people. Many, many others believe that God is speaking today. Yet, how often does the awareness of who is speaking get lost in all that's coming forth? I think we're a society and culture that's addicted to information. And we want knowledge, we want a lot of things, and knowledge is a good thing. But in the churches today, how many are aware of that word is coming from my Heavenly Father? Or is it more, gee, these are great things to be learning here. Great information that I can put on my mental shelf, store with all the other things I have up there. The way the word comes forth today, I mean, just think of the time we're in with the church. The word of God is not something to be marketed. It's not meant to be packaged. It's not necessarily meant to be user-friendly. And yet in today's world, the churches thrive and grow because they know they have to entertain people. You give people what they want to hear. But that's not the purpose of God's word. But that's the system we have created because you don't create mega churches by people being offended or too convicted. So the word comes forth and people's awareness is not that God is personally speaking to my heart necessarily as, boy, these words are tickling my ears. I feel good. I feel better. And we take the word and we package it just the right way so people will, it'll be acceptable to people. We market it so people will buy it. And all the while, what's being lost, I'll tell you, is people don't know who's speaking. And they can have thousands of tapes in their home. They can have hundreds of books and still not know that God wants to speak to their heart directly. So this is not what the Word of God is all about. It's not supporting these systems that we built up. I can remember back, if I can just relate one story, back in like 1971, and this came to me last Saturday. I was at a gathering, and a brother that we go back to 1971, he was talking about a service. And on Friday nights in the church we were involved in, I brought the word on Friday nights. And we had probably a couple hundred people packed in this place. And I remember this one Friday night, he was saying how I stood up and I remember God told me just to speak this one verse from Zechariah, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I did that. We'd had a wonderful worship service. I did that and just sat down. And everybody kept waiting because, you know, you got to have a sermon. It's got to be at least 20 to 30 minutes. And I just remember the joy that I felt. I was so excited that I could hear, God, that I didn't have to be trapped by the form or what was expected of me. And Bill Wright, who's the one I was talking to, he was saying, which I didn't know until last week, there were a bunch of pastors at that meeting from other churches in the area. And they were just dumbfounded by what was going on. They go, God is here, his presence is moving, but where's the leadership? A bunch of kids here. You know, there's all these young people. The regular pastor, I guess, wasn't there that night. And I just thought about that. Just being able to listen to God, to do what he said, not trying to package it. Well, Lord, that's a good verse. Now let me build a sermon around it. You know, people don't want to hear one line and then sit down and go home. And I thought about it. Why has that not happened since? Well, maybe God has never wanted me to do that again, or maybe too many other considerations have come in. And I think what God wants to bring us to is a relationship with his word, the joy of hearing him speak, and just saying yes and responding to it. This whole thing that's built up in the age we're in, where churches have to entertain, keep the masses happy, we're paying too high a price for that. What we're not getting is the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the word with power that transforms life. We're getting people like sheep being collected into these different corrals and packing them in. But the purpose of the Word of God is to create and to bring change and transform us into the image of Christ. Is the church providing that? The Word of God. Let's turn to John chapter 1. There's a difference between what the Word meant to people in Old Testament times and what it became through Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, and you read this in Hebrews chapter 1, the first verse says that God spoke to us in times past through His prophets. What you have in the Old Testament is the Word of God was perceived as something separate from people's lives. Certain ones heard it, they gave it to the people, and the keynote was, when we hear it, it'll be good if we do it, be bad if we don't. Obedience. So the Word of God, as it was spoken, it was not something people experienced necessarily internally. Directives were being given, and the emphasis was on doing. Under New Covenant life, it's different. We don't forget about obedience, but in Hebrews chapter 1 again, after the verse that says God spoke to us in times past through His prophets, what does it say? But now He has spoken to us in His Son. The Word of God in New Covenant life is spoken to us in His Son. That's why it is living. That's why God is continuing to speak to His people every day. I mean, is Jesus Christ in you? If He's in you, then God is speaking to your life. Whether we're listening or not, that's a whole nother story. But God is speaking. So the emphasis on the Word of God in New Covenant life is not on the doing, but on the becoming. Hearing to become. There's not that threat, the fear of punishment. If I don't do what God says, I'm going to be judged, because Jesus Christ took our judgment on the cross. Well, God, I've got to obey. I didn't obey You. What's going to happen to me? You know what? The Son was obedient to the Father. He was obedient to the point of death on the cross. The obedience that we could not fulfill in our human nature, Jesus Christ did for us. So there is no threat of punishment that comes from God's Word. It's in you like a seed. It wants to grow. And I think a lot of times we think about the Word as being something that we've got to change. It'll tell us how to change so we become something. You know what happens? That seed begins to grow in us. We become the Word. There's a unique living Word in each and every one of our hearts in the Son that has a unique pattern, a spiritual DNA that's unique to who you are meant to be and called to be in God. So as that seed begins to open up and begins to blossom, it's not a bunch of directives that are thrown at you to do this, do that. There's anointing, there is power, and you become conformed to that living Word, which conforms you to the image of Jesus Christ. There is the grace, isn't it? Not the law you need to do, but the grace that says you will become. Now, there are certainly ways that we can help in this process, because as you read in the Gospels about the parable of the sower, the seed was always pure, but where it fell was very key to the fruit that came up. It talks about that some was fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So I do think that our cooperation is important to the fruitfulness of God's Word in us. But let us understand one thing. Hebrews chapter 4, the Word of God is living and active. It's not our efforts that make the Word alive. The Word is already alive. The Word wants to work. It's our effort at surrender and submission and faith that says, yes, God, do unto me according to thy word. Living, active word, there's nothing I can add to your power in my life. So I just say, yes, have your way. Let my life be conformed to what you have to say in me. John chapter 1. Here's what the word of God is to mean to this generation since the time of Christ. Now, knowledge is important. Teaching is important. But no matter how much we learn, the keynote is how much of God's word has been integrated in our life. How much do we live? So I think knowledge and teaching points us to that end. But this generation, as God is speaking, he's looking for something. He's looking for that word to have been integrated in his people's lives. What about faith? Well, I think a lot of generations have had faith in the word of God. That's how it keeps growing. This generation right now, in the earth today, there is a tremendous level of faith in God's people and what he's spoken. But that needs to be coupled with a tremendous level of submission to saying, God, let your word be Lord in my life. Do unto me, like Mary, do unto me according to your word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him. What him? God? Yes. The Word? Yes. Jesus Christ? Yes. They're all the same. It's the same Spirit. How are we going to come into being? How are we going to come into our destiny? All things came into being by him. It's the Word of God in your heart as it lives, as it's active, that creates you into who you're meant to be. We go on down to verse 12. As many as received him, again, the Lord Jesus, yes, God, yes, but let's look at this. In the beginning was the Word. As many as received the Word, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Here's the big change from the Old Testament, the time of the law, to the New Testament, New Covenant, the life that we are birthed into. In the old, God was speaking. Some people had ears to hear. Those that did were blessed. In the new, his word becomes flesh. That's who Jesus Christ was. The word of God became flesh. Now, what's our experience meant to be? If we have the Son within us, his living word is to become integrated into our humanity. This is where we're meant to live it, to express it, to manifest it. You think, well, if I only could get this flesh out of the way, everything would be fine. Then the Word of God would be able to blossom. No, he put his Word in this earthen vessel. His treasure dwells in these earthen vessels, don't they? Your humanity is not the problem to God. Just be willing. Let his Word do his work. The Word would grow better if my personality was different. No, it has nothing to do with it. The Word doesn't need you to be a certain way to blossom. The Word of God in you just needs you to say yes. Do unto me what you want. Doesn't matter your personality type. We've all got problems. We've all prayed for years for those problems to go away. We've all blamed our problems for the reason we're not more spiritual. And after all those years, tell me, has it worked? Now, is God not answering? No, God's been trying to get through saying, your flesh is not the problem. It's a problem to you because you're listening to the enemy speak and his lies and his accusations. Problem is, do you see that I put my life in you? Do you see, because of what my Son did on the cross, you have an abiding word in your heart that's alive, that wants you to conform to it, will conform you to it, and bring you into the full stature of my Son, Jesus Christ. Let's shift our focus. The law, the focus of the law is always sin, isn't it? Stop sinning. Okay, I've got to stop sinning. But all person that's under law is always thinking about what they're doing wrong, trying to do right. The shift is, God's word is alive in me. God's word is Lord over my life. Everything will conform in my thinking and my nature to the power of that word. It's a powerful shift. Now, in this word coming forth, falling on the good soil, just two things I want us to look at. What is the word asking of us? Faith. Faith. Faith that goes beyond our reason. Abraham had that. And I think that's why when God speaks, he plays with us a little bit. He just messes us up in our little mindset, doesn't he? It'd be so wonderful if God's words would always just fit into the context of how we think, our comfort zone. If God speaks to Abraham, you know, you're going to have a child, but Abraham goes, why are you telling me that now? 30 years old, even 40 years old, it makes more sense. Now that I'm an old man, my wife's old, beyond the years of conceiving, he disrupted Abraham's comfort zone. Because the word was drawing out a level of faith that needed to be united with it. Hebrews talks about that. The word of God did not profit the Israelites. Why? It was not united with faith. So God purposely messes with our thinking. Because we see our thinking as being something that we need. We feel security with it. God looks down and says, your thinking's a limitation. It's a prison. I'm so far greater than that. So here's a word that you can understand part of it, and part of it doesn't fit with what you the way you think. Now what are you going to do? What are you going to do now, Abraham? When God tells you your seed will be like the stars in the heaven, the sand on the shore. What do you do when God tells you something that doesn't fit with the way you think about things? Abraham looked at the word of God. He looked at his own humanity. He wasn't in denial. He believed God anyway. And it was accounted to him as righteousness. So the word of God in us wants that level of faith that goes beyond the limitations of our own thinking. And are we not challenged in that? Tell me, are you challenged by that in your daily life? Has what God's spoken to you fit into your context of thought and expectations, your perspective on things? Doesn't the word of God always jar that? And you say, how can these things be? I can't figure it out. I can't get from point A to point B. God, my mind can't, I can't wrap my mind around what you've said. Your mind was never meant to wrap around the word of God. The word of God is meant to explode us out of our limited thinking into the realm of faith, where we say, Lord, I don't know how, but that's not important here. I know the source. You're the one talking. Faith in my heart is united with your living voice within me. What does that do? That's the word in that good soil growing within you. Second point is submission to go where the word takes us. You know, everybody wants this word, God, speak to my heart. Then what's going on in here? All this disruption in my life. You know something? The word of God is the truth, isn't it? And when it's living, it challenges everything that is false and not true. So is it any wonder that our lives are disrupted by his word? Our belief system has falsehood in it. We all cling to things that aren't true. We've been injured in life. We've been wounded. That has caused distortions in our perception, how we see things. So the word of God comes in and says, anything that's not true will be challenged by the purity of who I am in you. What's the purpose? So that our lives will be disrupted and we'll be unhappy? No, the purpose is that we can be liberated and freed from that which is false. that our thinking can be conformed to what the truth is. The Word of God takes us from our agenda to His. Ooh, now that, I have a lot of problems with that. We hear the Word of God and we try to fit it into our agenda in life. And we, with our minds, we can pretty much rationalize and trick ourselves into thinking that we've got it all figured out. The Word of God will never fit into your agenda. It's there to lead you out of your limited agenda into God's agenda for you, into something greater. But that, again, is a very disruptive thing to us. What am I talking about? When we think we're supposed to go left, that our life is going a certain direction, all of a sudden things are happening and we seem to be moving another direction. A few nods here. You've ever had that happen to you? I have it happen on a daily basis, it seems like. I don't know. You guys must luck out a little bit here. I don't know. Things going the way that we hadn't planned. What's going on? The Word of God is leading us His way. We want that Word to grow. We want that Word to be vital and alive in us. We learn how to yield and say, Lord, I know what I expect. I know what I want. But that desire is not Lord of my life. You take me where you want me to go. You remember Naaman when he was 2 Kings chapter 5? He was a leper, very important man. The prophet Elisha comes, speaks a word of healing, tells him to go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and he's outraged. You know, he says, "How that river's dirty. There's better rivers." He named a bunch of other rivers that are a lot cleaner that he could go wash in. And his servant ran. He walked away in a huff, and his servant ran after him and said, "Master, listen, had you asked you to do some hard thing, you would have done it. Just listen and do what he tells you." Of course, he washed in the Jordan. His leprosy was healed. This just came out a few months ago in a word, and I feel led to it again. Here's the operation of God's living word. It's spoken. Now, did Naaman have faith to be healed? There had to be some faith there, or he wouldn't have been there. He had faith that he would be healed, but he didn't have submission as to the way God would heal him. Here can be the problem with the Word of God. We have faith that it's going to happen, but on a daily basis, are we submissive to the way the Word leads us? For Naaman, his pride was wounded. In his mindset, he was an important man. There's a lot of arrogance, a lot of pride. And the way that God's Word treated him, it humbled him. He didn't like it. Can't you see, God, I'm an important man? Treat me like one. The Word of God said, go into that river that has got dirty water as far as you're concerned. You wash yourself. But his obedience, which really involved the submission in his heart and the humbling of himself, didn't it? That's what brought about the healing. The disciples in the same place with the Lord, how they were challenged. Had a following going in their minds. They had this idea that Jesus would be the king. He'd set up his throne. They had a certain perspective, a certain way of thinking about what his life meant, what it would mean to them, their dreams. To have it all shattered because the Word of God led him away that they could not comprehend or accept when they were with him. And yet the Lord looked at the same Peter that had denied him and said, you know, when you were young, you did what you wanted to do. You went the way you wanted to go. But a time is coming when another shall gird you and lead you a way you would not go. Here again is the power of the Word. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples certainly did. They left their jobs, their families, everything to follow him. That was a commitment of faith, wasn't it? Yet they held on to their thinking. Jesus the King, and going to the cross did not fit into their agenda or plans at all. But the Word of God led them out of their agenda to God's agenda on the day of Pentecost, where the Spirit of God fell and a whole new age was opened up by the Word of God. So with our lives, what else can we say but the same thing? Thy will be done. Lord, we believe in what you speak, and we yield our will to the direction your word takes us. As we do that, what happens? What's already a living within us bears fruit, and it grows, and it grows into every area of our lives. Things that are open, things that are hidden. Subconscious areas that we're not even aware of. You don't have to go through years of therapy to discover them. And I believe in therapy, obviously. The most important thing to me is to be open to the Holy Spirit and that revelation and let the light shine in all these areas. His word will go as far as we're willing, won't it? We say, Father, take us where you want us to go. His word will go into every area and fill us with the light, and we become conformed to the image of the Son. Amen. Let's stand. Well, this is... Yes, come on.
Dave has apparently forgotten one event. In Hebron, in Brazil, we'd had a particularly good worship. There were probably 200 people, including a lot of kids, crying babies. And typically in a service in Brazil, there's a rumble, except crying babies don't rumble. They're pretty definite. And came time for the word, and I think David was expected to bring it. And he said, I don't have anything. And asked, I think it was Josiel or Abby, I don't know, if they did, and they'd know. And I don't know, went around, nobody had anything. So we became silent. An amazing thing was all those kids, those babies, everybody became absolutely silent. There wasn't a sound from anyone. Now, only the Spirit of God could keep those babies quiet. I'm convinced of that. And I'm reminded of my hometown, a Methodist church, and they have a visiting minister. And we'd go to different churches. By the way, the only active pastor in the town is a Baptist, and he has to work at another job. Anyway, we went to this Methodist church, and this woman was obviously nervous. She didn't know what to say, but she did the best she could. And I'm reminded that a pastor has a very difficult job. He has to try to bring the word that God gives him, but he has to temper that with how it's going to be received by the congregation, because without the congregation, what's he got? So it's a difficult task. I guess what I'm trying to say is, when you can ask for favors, you can have your prayers, your pleadings, but he hears you the first time. You don't have to repeat it. What I'm saying is, there comes a time when it's time to shut up and listen to what he has to say.
Let's worship together as we conclude. Thank you, Bob. You just worship in the Spirit together?